Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. My name is Doug Wortham, and I have the distinct pleasure of hosting today's show. We are recording out here at the Great Minnesota Get-Together, the Minnesota State Fair. We're honoring our Vietnam veterans today, the 50th anniversary of when the Vietnam veterans came home. And normally at this time in the show, we'd go right into generally speaking, but it just so happens that I have the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey, sitting right here across from me. General Mankey, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good afternoon, Doug. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, it's so great to have you sitting out here. It's a beautiful day. We got to honor some Vietnam veterans. And, you know, I want to talk about all the stuff that's been going on at the fair here and just the sights and the sounds and the people. But we have just a great opportunity in that someone very special to the Minnesota National Guard, to me personally, is also sitting at the table with us, and that is Lieutenant General John Jensen, who happens to be the director of the Army National Guard. General Jensen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Sergeant Major, great to be here with you and Sean Mankey as well. I mean, just thanks for inviting me here.
Well, it is great to have both of you here. Now, it's not too often that I'm sitting at a table, and now I'm trying to direct traffic in a conversation with two general officers.
Last time you did that, you were probably being counseled, right?
I think you're right. I probably was receiving some counseling. And so, General Mankey, I want to just start with you. The Minnesota National Guard has a big presence out here today. It is Military Appreciation Day. Like I said before, we are honoring the 50 years of the closure of Vietnam, and we had a nice parade for our Vietnam veterans. But tell us a little bit about what our Minnesota Guard is doing out here today and really what the purpose is.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Sergeant Major. And really, we're just here to be part of the Great Minnesota Get-Together and highlight the Minnesota National Guard and really all of our service members. So great opportunity to recognize and thank Vietnam veterans for their service. We all know they were shortchanged when they came back from their conflict. So we're trying to right that wrong. And then also, you know, we had the band playing up at the Liney Band Show. We got the band playing later this afternoon down at Dan Patch Park, and recognizing some people who are just awesome supporters of the Minnesota National Guard, and not just the Minnesota National Guard, but all of our service members, their families, and the veterans through the Yellow Ribbon Network, Employee Support of the Guard and Reserve, and just a day to recognize those people and say thank you and have a presence. So hopefully we inspire more of our young Minnesotans to want to serve in the armed forces.
And you know what a sight it was watching that parade as they were marching down from Liney Lodge to Dan Patch Park here. I actually was walking with a Vietnam veteran, talked about his service, and he said he didn't get over into he served during Vietnam, but he didn't get over to Vietnam, but he spent quite a bit of time up in Alaska. And he said, you know, I started at the front of the pack, and by the time we got down here, he was the last one. He said, but I'm 80 years old, and I'm still upright and moving, so maybe just a little bit slower. And you know what? What a welcome. And I don't know if you got to see that, General Jensen, the parade, but I'll tell you what, it was great. The people standing on the side of that road, they were clapping. My wife and I were walking down, like I said, with this gentleman. And, you know, it was kind of a moving experience. And that one, that's not even my era, but to see that welcome, what do you think about that?
So I'll tell you this, Sergeant Major. Our biggest advocates for the global war on terrorism veterans have been our Vietnam veterans. You know, they didn't get welcome home. They didn't get the privileges that we have had when we came back from war. But when we came back from war, they stood right alongside of us and supported us and were there. And I think it's a great example of how veterans need to support their fellow veterans. It's a great example. And these men, these women, I just absolutely love them because of their leadership that they showed when we all came back. I mean, I know Sean's deployed, you've deployed, and I know you've shared the same thing with those veterans, and it was just a great example. And so being out here today and being able to welcome them and thank them and acknowledge them, it was just again another great event here at Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair.
You know, it's interesting is that I didn't understand it at the time, but when I deployed my first time to the Gulf War and we had our parade coming home, my best friend's dad, who is a Vietnam veteran, was standing all alone on the side of the road holding two American flags. And that picture is so vivid to me.
Right.
And he told me when I saw him afterwards, he said, I'm doing that because I didn't get it. And I want to make sure you got better treatment than I did when I came home. And I understand that much better now than I did back then.
So that's the call to all of our veterans now, right? Because there will be veterans again. So how we judge ourselves, how we'll be judged, is how we treat our veterans further down the road, right? That's our obligation. That's our requirement. And the Vietnam veterans have been a great example of how to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in the last show, Tom was interviewing the governor and, of course, the interim commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And that was kind of the big message, right, is, hey, the things that they did for us, we got to keep on going because our veterans deserve to be treated and taken care of, and honored for the service. So, General Mankey, back to you. Obviously, they kicked off everything today with a big show up at Liney Lodge. I have to ask, as those four Blackhawks were flying over, did that give you a little bit of a twitch? Did you want to get up there and do some flying or what?
You know, I tell you, for any American, I think it brings a tear to your eye when you see stuff like that happen. And just recognition of the Vietnam veterans when they stood up and were able to do that. I mean, if that doesn't tickle your heartstrings, I don't know what does. Patriotism and... we're proud to be able to do this and continue to do it. And this is the 12th year we've done this. And, this was a vision from Jerry Hammer, who we recognized this morning for starting this, and happy that it's continuing. And it's a good event. And really, not only the recognition, but the people that you see at today, there's a lot of veterans here. There's a lot of people. There's a reason we call it the Minnesota Great Get-Together. And on Military Appreciation Day, there's a lot of veterans here, which is, it again, tugs at the heartstrings. And it's about the people, the relationships that we have, and the commonality, camaraderie, and bond that we all share.
Yeah, and so you've got a pretty busy day. You're out here in a duty status, obviously, the Minnesota National Guard, the Adjutant General. So right on the other side of us, we've got a bunch of resource booths. I know that you've spent some time or will spend some time talking to some of those folks. How long is your day going to be today?
We're going to go after this. We're going to go up and recognize some of our recruiters who are just knocking it out of the park this year, putting people in the guard, keeping our formations full, and a couple other things. And then, that's it pretty much for me for the day. So not too bad, really. But it's something that I enjoy doing. It's a fun day. Yeah, I'm in a duty status, and I'm representing the Minnesota National Guard. But, who wouldn't want to come to the State Fair for a day and interact with their soldiers and the airmen and just the people here and be able to celebrate the Guard and really all service members.
And so you're talking about recruiting. Minnesota typically has a pretty good history of the ability to meet mission, recruit. That's got to make things a little bit easier at the national level, I would think, General Jensen, in that you've got a state you can rely on when you're wanting to meet some end strength goals.
Well, you know that, Doug. You were the CSM of the recruiting battalion. Minnesota outperforms most, if not all, of our states, in part because we have a really strong culture as it relates to the importance of our recruiting effort. And what I love about Minnesota and in the National Guard is that we work really hard to give that opportunity for every young man, young woman, regardless of where you live, where you went to high school, what you want to do. We really are very inclusive about letting everybody who's interested in service to come serve with us. It's remarkable because I get to see all 54. It's not the same way everywhere in the 54. And so I think our approach as it relates to recruiting, I think the talent that we put against our recruiting team to make sure we put the most talented people in that effort, it speaks a lot to, what Sean and I both inherited. We didn't create this. We inherited this. And, I think the challenge that, that I felt when I was in Sean's position is, how do I continue this?
Yeah.
Right. And just being very respectful of all the hard work that came before you.
And I think that's the important thing, right? Continue driving on, moving the ball forward.
Right.
As someone new comes into position, you just continue to build on it. And so with that thought, continuing to build on it, we're going to go into a break right here, and then we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more with Major General Sean Mankey and Lieutenant General John Jensen. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In the last segment, we were speaking with the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey, and also the Director of the Army National Guard, Lieutenant General John Jensen. Gentlemen, when we closed out the last segment, we were talking about recruiting, talking about, kind of how Minnesota generally leads the way as it relates to the nation. Now, I promised that we wouldn't talk all business, though, during the show. We might get to some business a little bit later on, but I want to put General Jensen on the spot right now, and I promised I wouldn't do this to you.
That's good.
But what brings you back to Minnesota?
Oh, well, the State Fair, quite honestly. Cindy and I organized our summer this year to make sure that we got back to the State Fair. It's our first time since 2019. I mean, obviously, COVID had an impact with that, and my schedule had an impact with that. But I really, 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 Cindy and I wanted to be back for the State Fair. We loved the State Fair. And to come back on Tuesday where the Military Appreciation Day is, I remember, we all know Colonel retired Kevin Olson. When Kevin Olson worked, so hard to get this event here at the State Fair, I'm just to see how it's grown and how popular it's become and how we're able to recognize all these great veterans that have served our nation, our state. I just absolutely love it. And, since I'm in town, I might go to that Minnesota-Nebraska game, too. But
what I knew that was going to come up.
We're going to talk about that, though, right?
Yeah, well, old retired Command Sergeant Major Baker is over at the USAA booth, and he's a Nebraska guy. And I'm like, are you staying for the game? And he's like, I think I might have to call in sick so I can stick around
there
for a couple of days to get to that game.
I think I've single-handedly ensured the sellout of the stadium.
Well, I think the Gophers will be happy with you.
No.
And so now are you going to be cheering strictly for your Huskers, or will you cheer for the Gophers too?
Why would you ask me such a controversial...
Well, I just want to get it on recording.
Yeah. It's like, I thought we had an agreement. You would never ask me something.
I apologize. We'll just cut that out of the show.
Yeah. So my wife's an alumnus. My youngest daughter is an alumnus of University of Nebraska. We love the University of Minnesota. It's our second favorite team in the world. We root for them 11 weeks out of 12.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So speaking of coming back, and, you talked a little bit about your schedule. It's been pretty busy, but, all right, so you're back. Cindy's back here with you. You guys just celebrated 31 years, so happy anniversary to you on that. What's that adjustment been like for you and for your family? Leaving Minnesota, going out to D.C., how's it been for you guys?
Well, we left a team and a group of people that we absolutely loved, right? Not just our friends, but, the people of the Minnesota National Guard and all of our supporters as well. And so you leave that environment and you go to an absolutely new environment and you're a little bit unsure. And so I went back. I went to D.C. It was during the middle of COVID. It was really hard to, see people form teams and all that kind of stuff. But over the course of the time, we've really grown to appreciate and love D.C. Not to the level of Minnesota. I'm just saying that right now, right? When we're done in D.C., we're coming back to Minnesota. We just walk around today, and it's just a reminder for Cindy and I both how much we love Minnesota and how much we love this community. So
and being out here, it's like a family reunion. I mean, looking at the crowd and we're seeing people that I haven't seen for a long time. Old friends, new friends, old faces.
I feel like Neil Loidl from MACV's kind of stalking me right now. He's kind of looking over my shoulder, making sure I don't say anything stupid. But absolutely, to come back, to see Tom, and I know he's not on our segment, but to see Tom and all these people that have really worked hard To commit not just to the Minnesota National Guard, but to our veterans and our service members and our families. I mean, this is, like I said, I get to see all 54. What we have here in Minnesota, let me tell you, I've said this over and over again, it's special, yeah. Right? But it needs to be nurtured, needs to be watered and fed, and we need to keep working on all this. And so the fact that, you know, you and Jason Burley are supporting Tom, you know, I mean, that's what it's exactly like. You know, that's what it should be.
Yeah, no, it is, and it's great to you know, rekindle all of these relationships. You know, we see people once a year, and it's just great to see them, and, you know, it's like you never missed a beat. So speaking of never missing a beat, though, what do you miss the most of Minnesota, right? I mean, I could say the state fair, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but, you know, you talked about the team stuff on the professional side, right? But personally, you know, you have a home here still. You still have family here.
Yeah.
Even though you're a transplant from Iowa, we accepted you as our own, welcomed you to Minnesota. But what do you miss?
Well, first of all, it's still open.
Okay, well, you know.
A little shaky now. Well, you know, what I learned a bit about the Twin Cities very early on is nobody's really from here, right? About like 50% yeah. of the population is either from Iowa, Wisconsin, or North Dakota. You know, I sat in my house on Sunday. I missed my house. But when I started going and seeing, you know, my people, the people that I've grown, it's the people. Yeah. It really is. And quite frankly, the weather too. I mean, it's been a, you know, Sunday till today and looking into tomorrow. It's just beautiful. I just, you know, we love this place, Doug. You know that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that. We have good, deep friends here that mean the world to us. We've had great experiences in this state. We're not from here. You know, as Dan Barrero over at KFAN would say, we're not from here. I'm not from here, but we feel home here, and this is our home. So we'll be here forever.
So you already mentioned that, you know, obviously you're here at the fair today. You are potentially going to that Huskers game, which I know you actually are, not potentially. And then is it just kind of some relaxation for you here back in Minnesota, enjoying this weather, enjoying the people? Complete vacation time for you.
It's pretty much sleeping and eating. That's all I've done so far, right? I have slept and I have ate.
Yeah. All right. Well, so question for both of you. Speaking of eating, what's the best food that you've had out the fair or you're going to have that you're looking forward to?
So I the only thing I've eaten today so far is a Prono Pup. That's a go-to every
prono
year.
Prono Pup or corn dog do you prefer?
Prono Pup.
Always a Prono Pup, yeah.
Because you get it at the fair, right?
Yeah.
You can get a corn dog other places, so... And that's probably one of my go-to favorites.
I guess
you can't go wrong, right? You got the stands. But, you know, I'm looking forward to having probably some cookies later.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Those are always good. Can't go wrong with Fresh Martha. And then my Mary and I will walk around a little bit this afternoon before a social event and see what there is to offer.
Yeah, perfect. What about you, General Jensen?
You know, so I'm not support. You know, this is not an endorsement of a non-federal entity, right? Which would be technically illegal, right? I'm not doing that, just in case my lawyers are listening. So we, of course, love all of the food at the fair.
Yes, this is very political. Yes,
but
when I
leave here, I'm going to go over and get a gizmo.
A gizmo.
A gizmo. A very small shop, I think, towards Machinery Hill. That is Cindy and I and a couple of our close friends will go over and have a gizmo. We do that. Now, we've already had the corn. We've already had the cheese curds. We've sampled some other products.
Yes, but, perfect.
But we'll be, that's the next thing. That won't be the last thing. There'll be a lot more after that. So thanks for asking me that
entrapment
question.
So we have less than a minute.
There.
General Mankey, other than Minnesota Appreciation Day, being here on Minnesota Military Radio, what's the most enjoyable activity that you get to do at the fair? Whether it's in an official capacity or not.
Yeah, I think it's just a connection with other people. I mean, you see people that you haven't seen for years, and you run into them at the fair. I mean, just walking down from the Lani Lodge down to here, I ran into two soldiers, obviously, that I knew, but I knew them when they were young specialists, and now they're sergeant first class, one's a master sergeant, and, you know, you connect with them, you see their family, you see their kids that they might have with them, and it's that's probably the most enjoyable part for me.
Nice connection outside of the general day-to-day business. I'm going to come back to you, General Jensen.
Well, I got it real quick.
Oh, okay.
Meeting the veterans over here at the Veterans Park, listen to their stories. Best thing.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. All right, we are going to end this segment here. We'll come back. We'll get into some other topics here. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I am your host, Doug Wortham. We're here broadcasting and recording live out here at the Minnesota State Fair. We're going to come back in just a moment. We're going to continue our conversation with Major General Sean Mankey and Lieutenant General John Jensen. But first, it is time for the Commissioner's Corner. This is a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Interim Commissioner Brad Lindsay.
The State Soldiers Assistance Program, also known as SSAP, was established in 1923 to serve Minnesota veterans. 100 years later, Minnesota veterans can still count on SSAP in times of need. Tens of thousands of former service members and their families have found help over the decades. The program was established in response to the needs of veterans returning home from World War I. Early on, SSAP provided basic assistance with medical treatment and for the general maintenance of disabled veterans. Since then, SSAP has grown and evolved to meet the changing needs of veterans. Today, SSAP continues to offer those services and more, including support with housing, financial assistance, education financial assistance, short-term disability, dental and optical assistance, and disaster relief. Learn more about the benefits available through the State Soldiers Assistance Program from your county Veterans Service Officer by calling 1-888-LINK-VET or visiting minnesotaveteran.org/benefits.
Thank you, Interim Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. As I said in the intro to this segment, we're speaking with the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey, along with the Director of the Army National Guard, Lieutenant General John Jensen. Gentlemen, it's been fantastic speaking with you for the last two segments. We get one more segment together, which has just been a treat for me. And General Jensen, I want to start with you. Your career started in the mid-80s. You were commissioned in...
That'd be the early 80s.
Oh, excuse me, the early 80s. I was trying to give you a couple more.
Yeah, 1982 is not the mid-80s. So
all right, 82.
It's okay to call me old.
And you were commissioned in 1989.
89, yep.
All right, so you're a young... Very young. Second lieutenant in 1989. Did you think that in 2023 you'd be a lieutenant general at the director level of the Army National Guard?
No. I enlisted for 6 years, and I was getting out as soon as those 6 years were over. You know, there was no way anybody was going to be able to convince me to continue to serve. But I fell in love with the people first and then the organization and the mission. Right. And
isn't it kind of funny how that happens? General Mankey, I believe that you probably have a similar thing. You know, you became the adjutant general in 2020, but way back when,
right.
did you ever see that in your future?
No. And as a matter of fact, I served in the active army for a little over 8 years and left the active army. Never thought I'd put the uniform on again.
Yeah.
And, but I, you know, like General Jensen, it's, you miss a camaraderie, you miss a people first. And then when I came into the Guard, I was blown away, frankly, how well the equipment was maintained and the professionalism of the people and the mission in the organization. And like General Jensen said, we truly are blessed in Minnesota. We have a very solid, very professional Guard. And frankly, you know, it's the leaders that hold the standard, but it's the young service members coming up that are professionals that allow us to do that.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that just makes it a joy to serve.
You know,
I was just going to say, I think what Sean's talking about is we come from an incredibly rich history and tradition and this obligation that you feel like you have to carry. And it's not just at the GO level. I mean, it permeates the entire organization. The Red Bull means something, right? And we have the oldest flying unit in the Air National Guard here in Minneapolis. And so all of this comes together. We're exceptionally proud of this great organization. But as I said earlier, we know we didn't create it, we inherited it.
Yeah.
Right? So our desire to push it forward is really strong.
And I think that that's, you know, an important thing to consider. And I'd like to ask both of you this question. You know, you talk about the history and, you know, just kind of that obligation, so to speak. But we all can recognize that you didn't get to become the adjutant general alone. You didn't get to become the director of the National Guard Bureau alone. I didn't get to become the state command senior enlisted leader alone. There was people along the way. And I would just like to know if there's somebody that just comes to mind or a couple of people that really helped to shape you into the leader that you are, that really motivates you to continue to serve and look where you are now. I'll start with you, General Mankey.
Yeah, so I would say first, when I was a young captain in the Brigade S3 shop on 4th ID, I had a major who was the Brigade S3, and really, he worked us really hard, but demanded that we know our craft, but, you know, we also had a good time when we were done working. So, you know, the work-life balance was very good on that. And then when I got in the Guard, you know, there's many leaders that have influenced me to where I am today, and, you know, it's ultimately about, you know, taking care of your people first, because if we don't have our people, we no matter what mission we get, if we don't have people to do it, we can't do it. So taking care of our people and then hopefully, you know, having them move on to do what's needed to do for the best of our organization.
General Jensen, what about you?
So I'll give you a very unique one in the sense that, you know, really late in my career. So when my nomination to be the director of the Army Guard left the White House, went over the Senate, one of the first people that contacted me was a guy named Herb Temple. Lieutenant General retired Herb Temple was former director of the Army Guard and former chief of the National Guard Bureau. And, you know, immediately when I got his email, I knew who he was. But I didn't realize the relationship I was about to develop with Lieutenant General retired Temple. And so next month I'm going to go see him. So I make a point every month or every year to go out and see Lieutenant General retired Herb Temple. So he was the director and the chief in the 1980s. And to bring this back to Minnesota, when he was in D.C., one of his mentors and one of his close friends was the great General Jack Vesey. And so this all comes around, right? And so he has been just a tremendous inspiration for me. A tremendous sounding board. So, you know, the reason why I bring him up is as a lieutenant general, you get mentored too, right? It's just not when you're a lieutenant. It happens through your whole career. And I kind of poked a little fun at Neil Loidal over there, but, you know, trying to work backwards, you know, Rick Nash, Neil Loidal, on and on and on. I mean, there are just too many to name, but the guy who means a lot to me right now is Herb Temple, Korean War veteran. True story. So Herb Temple joins the California Guard. His unit ends up getting deployed to Korea during the Korean War. He's a supply sergeant. I mean, this is before we sent guardsmen to AIT and basic training and everything. He's fighting in a foxhole in Korea, and an officer comes up to him one day and says, "Hey, Sergeant Temple, where's Sergeant Temple?" "Yo, he's over here." "Hey, Sergeant Temple, we found out you've never been to basic training. If you want to go home right now, we'll send you home." And he said, "No, I'm staying with my unit."
Yeah.
Talk about an inspiration. Talk about, example. I mean, this is the quality that he has. And so being able to spend time with him, it has been very... very important to me.
Well, what a great message to, you know, everybody listening, currently serving or otherwise, that you're never too old.
That's right.
To receive mentorship and to develop those relationships, because I think we've all got something to learn from everybody, you know. And
yeah.
And you find those couple of people that, you know, as Chaplain Buddy Wynn calls them, you know, that the Jedi, you know, the trusted minds, you know, get together with those people and just and have those relationships and take that advice, seek that sage advice, and be open to having those conversations.
Well, I think what you said is being open to it, right? Because you're not always going to get good news.
That's right.
I mean, sometimes you're going to get very, you know, honest review, and your ability to accept that, understand that, and then be able to get better than that. Because look, you know, you know, Sean's like me. We've had great success in our career, but not every day's been rosy. Not every day's been perfect, right?
Right. Yeah.
You know, we haven't been successful in everything we've tried, or you know, and so, right. you know, but just having that, you know, we talk about this a lot, the resiliency of saying, okay, you know, I can get better, and I need to get better.
Yeah, and we could continue talking about how all that mentorship works for another segment and beyond. But I promised that I would get you guys off of the radio in time. So, sir, you can go get a gizmo. And, General Mankey, you can get on to visiting some more of the Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen out here at the great Minnesota get-together. I just want to say thanks so much for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio. I really appreciate the time you spent with us. It's been great.
Yeah, no, thanks, Doug, to you and Tom Lyons as well, and Jason Burley, the whole team here. You know, Lieutenant Williams. I remember when she wasn't Lieutenant Williams, she was... You know, just watching her grow up a little bit, too. It's a great team you have here at Minnesota Military Radio. All right. I love it. So thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, our Major. Really appreciate it. Thanks for doing this.
You bet. Absolutely. That's Major General Sean Mankey, the Adjutant General of Minnesota National Guard, and also Lieutenant General John Jensen, the Director of the Army National Guard. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. We're here recording live at the Minnesota State Fair, the great Minnesota get-together. It's Military Appreciation Day here at the State Fair. It's a beautiful day. And one of the performances that took place today and actually throughout the day, starting at the Liney Lodge, was the 34th Infantry Division Red Bull Band. And I was able to get the title correct, the band master / commander of the 34th Infantry Division, the Red Bull Band, to come on Minnesota Military Radio and talk to us a little bit about the band. And I'd like to introduce to Minnesota Military Radio Command Chief Warrant Officer 3, Jim Baxter. Welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me. This is wonderful.
Yeah, you know, I know this was kind of last minute, but I know that being in the entertainment business like you are, you always have to be able to adjust on the fly because you need to get that timing just about right when you're on stage. And I appreciate the flexibility of you coming on today, Minnesota Military Radio.
You're right, and I appreciate the invitation. And you're totally right. That falls into a lot of the military aspect of things as well. You know, you have a plan, and then you have what actually happens.
Yeah, no doubt. And flexibility is always paramount. I want to kind of set the stage here a little bit. We're going to talk plenty about the band, but let's talk about Mr. Baxter, the bandmaster commander of the Red Bull Band, the 34th Infantry Division Band. Tell us a little bit about your career. Where'd you come from, and how did you get to Minnesota to be the commander of the band?
I think some of the most interesting people I've talked to are military personnel. It's always fun to hear what they thought the first year when they were in the military, and then year 10 or 20 or 30, how that path actually zigged and zagged. And so for me, I didn't actually enter the military until 28 years old. I was a high school band director, and I was interested enough, but quite frankly, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't know there was a band in the Minnesota National
wow.
Guard.
Yeah.
And I went to the University of Minnesota, and I was teaching in Princeton, which I still am, because the command position is M-Day. And Chief Score, Trigvi Score, was the commander, which I think you probably remember from deployment, and we were working together on a civilian project, and he said, "Do you ever think about the Army band?" I said, "No, tell me about it." And long story short, you get in, and part of being a warrant officer is you're a subject matter expert. And so you have to be in the unit, prove yourself through all of the, you know, the ways that you would, and then you can apply and go through the process for warrant officer candidacy school in with the plan to be the commander. And so there has to be a slot open. So it's a multi-year process to replace the commander just because of that. And so I'm actually a warrant officer commander, which is very unique. Even at walks, people said, "No, wait a minute. What?" And and so that's kind of how I got into it and moved fairly quickly, partially because I was 10 years older than most folks that get in, which I was well aware of at basic training.
Yeah.
And had that civilian acquired trait like all of us do as far as the directing. And so that's kind of what was my path.
Well, that's interesting, and you were saying that the band is the only unit type that has a warrant officer for a commander. Is that right?
That I know of, and that has been doing it this way for so long.
Okay.
And so it depends. Units sometimes adjust and shift left and right on how they run their structure, but the band's always done it this way because we want someone that knows that world.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, you have to have the music side. And it's a command post. You're going to hold probably longer than 3 years.
And that's typical with a warrant officer. Like you said, it's the resident expert, the SME. And so you want someone in that position that really has the institutional knowledge. So you're not rotating out like a traditional commissioned officer would do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's what we do. And, you know, it's our recruiting and our retention are very different than a lot of units. And the same with our musicians. They're not looking for other fields, not looking for places to go and expand their career. This is what they came here to do. And so we like to keep them as long as they'll stay.
Yeah, and it's not uncommon for someone to spend their entire career in the band.
Absolutely. We have folks that came in at 18 and passed. We have, you know, everybody has to do an audition before they get in. So it's a, you know, it's a civilian acquired trait. And they'll do all 20 years or some of them as long as they'll let them stay. And we also have folks that have come from other MOSs that, quite frankly, found out about the band on a deployment when they saw the rock band and went, wait, I can do that. Right now we have two folks that came from the infantry. Being in an infantry division, obviously, that's... And so it's funny when we go to train because we have the same standards and everything, but we train a little differently.
Yeah.
And so they say, oh, man, this is great. I like being here. And part of it is they were young infantrymen, so they never got past that part.
Yeah.
And now they get, you know, if their civilian acquired trait is a certain level, we don't worry so much in the rehearsal aspect as far as rank. You have more to do and more responsibility immediately, which a lot of them like. We have folks that have come from military police, and we have, you know, all over the board.
So let's, in the few minutes that we have left together here, let's talk about how the 34th Infantry Division, the Red Bull Band, is supporting Military Appreciation Day. You know, like I mentioned, the full ensemble was up in Liney Lodge this morning for the opening ceremony. But I understand you got a band that is just playing right over where the vendor booths are here for the Military Appreciation Day. Tell us a little bit about the makeup of your band and really how you're supporting today.
Sure. Well, what's unique is I say Army Band, and everybody either thinks a concert band or a marching band. And that's because that's what people know. But we have these music performance teams. So that includes a rock band and a saxophone quartet and a brass quintet and a larger brass band, all the way down to taps players, obviously. And, you know, we can take our 42 personnel and turn them into about 8 different simultaneous mission-ready groups, which is huge. So our mission is to support soldiers, obviously, and we do that in war zones and in retirement homes and even here at the fair. And then the rock band, for example, would do like the Dan Pat stage, or they, you know, in Iraq, that was really popular with the young, you know, infantrymen when they're there. And so these small groups are really what are bread and butter right now. Here at the fair, we get to bring the concert band, and oftentimes we'll combine some of the MPTs. And so over at the Liney Lodge, it's fun because that's the more traditional. We do marches and that. And one of the best things about the fair for us is we go there and we do a different set every year. We combine some modern music and some classical military music, but we always end with the salute to veterans, where we say, please, when your branch song gets played, please stand up. And so that we can recognize you and salute you on the behalf of the state of Minnesota for your service. And I have yet to do this. This is 12th year doing the fair minus COVID, where I haven't had someone come up or someone's relative come up and thank us. And, you know, I've had people come up in tears and say, that's the first time that my father or mother has ever been thanked publicly for their service. And so I tell them, for us, the event's the same every year.
Yeah.
But for the audience, it's a really big deal. And that's fun because even though it's fun having the MPTs, the rock band, and the different, you know, those are obviously very popular ensembles with soldiers. The support mechanism, the civilians, family members, and those veterans that are in the audience don't always get a lot of that, especially directly from the military. And so places like the fair are great because we get to say thank you on behalf of everybody. And that part of our job is extremely fulfilling.
And so, you know, obviously it makes sense that you're out here on Military Appreciation Day. Minnesota National Guard has a major role in this. Do you perform? Can the Red Bull Infantry Division band perform at other events that might not be like here at the State Fair?
Absolutely. Well, we perform even though we're a guard unit. We fit all of our training musically and otherwise, and we do about 50 missions a year.
Okay.
So for a guard band, we're extremely busy. We have always shot to be the guard band in the country that people look up to, and we, you know, like everything the Red Bulls do. So part of the division, we're going to do this. So we'll play anything from a small five-person group at a retirement community to the rock band playing at dining outs and things like that to, you know, music in the park. Over RIT, we go kind of on this tour of music in the park as long as there's a veteran-related organization in charge of it. And so, yeah, we play a lot, and you can get those requests. You can look that up. We have a Facebook page,
okay.
34th ID Red Bull Band. And we'll have links there to contact our folks if you're interested in having us out.
So we've got 20 seconds.
Sure.
Are you guys still recruiting right now, or do you have positions available?
We are always recruiting because it's like, just like anything in the Army, we're one retirement or bad decision away from losing some key personnel.
So, if somebody's out there that is in music, loves music, and would love to support their country in the Minnesota National Guard, they should check out
absolutely. Contact us. We'll talk about an audition, and we'll move forward.
Awesome. Hey, Chief Jim Baxter, I really appreciate you spending some time with us here on Minnesota Military Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you for the invite.
Thanks to the Red Bull Band. They've done a fantastic job out here. One quick mention here. I do want to say happy anniversary to my wife, 31 years. She's right over there listening in on the show and waving back at me. And as we near our time together, I just want to let everybody in the audience know that this show is for you. So please, if you've got topics, suggestions, if you have some feedback about the show, if you're a Minnesota veteran, you'd like to share your story, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us, and send us a message. I'd also like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Command Chief Warrant Officer 3, Jim Baxter, Interim Commissioner Brad Lindsay of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey, and finally, the Director of the Army National Guard, Lieutenant General John Jensen. Next week, we'll be back in the studio, so please join us for another episode of Minnesota Military Radio. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham. I'd like to thank you for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a great week and you find a way to make a positive impact on someone's life.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.